Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to thank you for listening to the Milwaukee Bucks post-game wrap-up show here on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. I am your host, Davey Miller, and I'd like to welcome you to the show. Joining me on the post-game wrap-up show tonight is Joshua Klippling, and we will be discussing everything Green or Milwaukee Bucks for as much as our time allows. Now, Joshua, first of all, I would like to welcome you to the show. I'd like to thank you for being a guest, and we certainly look forward to your insights here over the next 30 minutes. Being the bearer of bad news, the Bucks lost tonight for the seventh time in a row, this time in overtime at Philadelphia 76ers, 115-107, to lose their seventh game in a row. What has been the Bucks' biggest struggle, Joshua, during this seven-game losing streak?
I would say it's injuries so far. Larry Sanders has been out since November 2nd. Carlos Delfino has been out the whole season. Brandon Knight hurt his hamstring 2 minutes into the first game. And so when you have those kind of injuries to those kind of key players, it's kind of hard to get things going, get things moving forward. And that's why you've seen through the first 11 games, they've had eight different starting lineups. So when you don't have that kind of stability, it's hard to get things rolling.
I have to laugh when you say stability and Larry Sanders in the same sentence. You mentioned Larry Sanders right off the bat, as most Bucks Nation does. I'm not really sure. What, in your opinion, Josh, how many more games? The Bucks are 2-8 right now, or 2-11, aren't they? Or 2-9 in 11 games.
Yeah, 2-9.
How much of a difference? What would they be? 3-8 with Larry Sanders? 4-7? What do you think their record would be if they had Larry Sanders in the lineup?
They're 2-9, so I think the one thing that he would provide is, of course, last season he averaged almost 3 blocks a game. They kind of need that inside presence. Tonight they gave up, I believe, 56 points in the paint, 32 in the first half, so that's certainly not good. They're averaging, they give up 39 points in a paint a game, which is eighth in the league, but you don't like to see 56 points in one game against one opponent. Just being that force around the rim, guys aren't going to be willing, and aren't going to be willing and looking to bring it into the paint when there's a 7-footer in there who can send the ball 3 rows into the sand.
as opposed to blocking it and keeping it in play, I'm really down on Larry Sanders right now, if you haven't noticed. I think he's a head case. I think the Bucks had the signing. You certainly could not let him go next year and walk unimpeded in free agency. You had to sign him. So now that they have signed him, my hope is moving forward that once the Bucks can trade him, and I think you got to be around for a full year, so say after this season to get full compensation back, I would like to see the Bucks trade him. While he will still be a hot commodity, he's young, he's lanky, he is a defensive specialist that thinks like Tim Thomas thought, that they both, are guards and want to handle the ball and shoot and all these other things. And they have stone hands, unfortunately. They're not able to do it, but they think they can. And he's not like a John Henson who is smooth offensively around the rim. Larry's erratic. I compare him to Tim Thomas because they're both under high contracts. They're both super athletic. They both have bodies to die for basketball-wise. and they were both basketball dumb as far as basketball IQ goes. Not as a person, not as a friend or a husband, as a wife, but between the lines on the court, those type of players, your Danny Gansereaches, your Tim Thomases, the list can just go on and on, moving up to Larry Sanders. They're just not basketball smart. So when an organization that has been as irrelevant as the Milwaukee Bucks have over the last however many decades, save for a handful of seasons, they can't afford to have their marquee guy, the guy that they depend on, be unstable mentally. Now, Larry Sanders sitting on the sideline as we're on this horrendous losing streak and start to the season because he has a non-basketball injury because he got in a bar fight somewhere. And
right.
That's just not a good message to send out from the organization that's trying to push a big ball uphill, and that certainly has not helped. But moving forward, getting off the Larry Sanders night here for a while at least, who is your X-Factor player moving forward for the Bucks, Josh? Why don't you give us some insights on who you see a player that's getting ready to break out or maybe has already broken out that you'd like to highlight. So go ahead, Josh. Who's an X-Factor moving forward?
First, I just want to talk about who I thought was the X-Factor of tonight's game. First half, I think it was Irfan Ilyasova. He took three charges in the first half, which is a turnover. He really got in Spencer Hawes' head, which kind of took him out of the game in the first half at least. Got under his skin. He got a sack and stuff. So I really liked his play. He had 8 points on 6 of 11 shooting in the first half, I believe. And
he finished
9 for 17. He had 12 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
On 6 of 11 shooting. And so, but then second half, I'd say X Factor was Caron Butler. Just because of his hot shooting in the fourth quarter, he had at least 16 of his 38 points just in the fourth quarter, provided that stability. Every time things would look out of control, he'd hit a bucket, you know, get a stop on defense, and the Bucks would move forward. I think he has to be the X factor moving forward for nights when OJ Mayo, like tonight, who, you know, he's averaging 17.5 points a game, and then comes in tonight and shoots 2 for 8 with 9 points, 0 for 6 from three. So he's got to be that constant, that common denominator for nights when guys aren't getting their shots to fall. So that's why I would say he's the X factor.
Did Caron Butler's big night last night make you forget about all the other negative parts of his game that he displayed over the first 10 games of the season where he was available? He'd missed a few games because of that shoulder injury. But
right.
Caron Butler, in my mind, I don't want him in the game the last 4 minutes of the game. And I've said that about a lot of players throughout NBA history. I've been watching the NBA for over 40 years, and I remember Dominique Wilkins. Everybody loved the human highlight reel, averaged 25 points a game, this and that, dunkalicious. I mean, nobody could dunk like Dominique. But I never wanted him in the game the last 4 minutes because he would make turnovers, he'd dribble the ball off his foot, he would throw the ball out of bounds, and nobody ever notices that or sees that. But I've seen that through his whole career. He would come to Milwaukee, and I would say, you watch tonight, the last 4 minutes of the game, he's going to have a handful of turnovers. And that night he would go out, and 4 minutes of the game, he'd have a whole bunch of turnovers. That was Dominique. That's been other players that have been successful in the league. at least from the outside looking in, and I think that's Caron Butler as well. I don't think he's anything special. I wish he was, but if he was, he probably wouldn't be on the Milwaukee Bucks, at least at this point. So then
who do you want to shoot the last? Who do you want to be the in the last 4 minutes of the game in close game situations?
Well, now that's a good question. I really am down on the Bucks. I mean, you've caught me in a year where I'm really just really down on Milwaukee. I mean, I'm on the message boards. My name on the message board is Up North Fan, and I've been defending the Milwaukee Bucks organization for decades and just defend Larry Harris, defend John Hammond. And when they traded Tobias Harris last year and Deron Lamb for J.J. Redick for a 29-game rental, that to me just kind of has ever since then put a pit in my stomach like my goodness, you just traded away a tremendously young, talented asset for an aging veteran that came over and didn't even shoot his career percentages while he was here for that brief 29 games. So, and that's
Tobias,
not hindsight. Go ahead.
And Tobias went down in Orlando, and once he got there, averaged 17-11 for them. So
exactly.
I think if he would have gotten that playing time, he was a valuable asset, like you said.
Well, you know, but the Bucks have done some positive things. You know, they've drafted Giannis. They've got John Henson. They've got Brandon Knight, Nate Walters. I like some of the people. I like the Mayo signing for 3 years, $8 million per. I did not like the Carlos Delfino signing. Did not like the Caron Butler signing. But I'm glad all of these signings, Gary Neal, they were all for 2 or 3 years. It seems like Hammond at least has learned. Don't sign those 5-year contracts like he did to Drew Gooden. That was just a waste of the Senators' money. Year five, they just amnesty and they still paid him the $8 million, but told him to get lost. I don't know why a man that had been on 11 teams in 11 years in the NBA, why we had to sign him to a 5-year deal. Why couldn't we sign him to a 2 or 3? Certainly wasn't anybody else beating on the door for him.
Right.
And if they were, you should have just let them have him. But that signing was like a Danny Gazzarit signing. It just kind of a waste of money on a big man that was actually a waste of money. So, again, another sad point in Bucks history. But moving forward, the future is halfway decent. They got about a half a dozen players. If you could turn that Larry Sanders asset into a first-round pick next season was my point earlier. Now you've got something because the draft is going to be deep next year. Milwaukee's going to have their own pick, and if they can get another upper half first-round pick by trading Larry Sanders at the end of the year, well, now I think you might have something to get two number ones in a very deep draft. Chances are the Milwaukee Bucks would be able to hit on at least one of them, if not both of them. So moving forward, there certainly are some reasons to get excited, Giannis being the most obvious. I really love that kid, Joshua. He's got immense potential, awesome attitude, a body that he can grow into. He's a skinny, if not skinnier.
Yeah.
Then Paul George and Kevin Durant when they came into the league. Go ahead, Josh. Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
I was just saying he's tall and lanky like John Henson was when he came in, but it's looking like John Henson has kind of put on a little bit of weight since his rookie season, just this offseason.
Well, they got him listed at 220, and they had him at 220 last year, but I think you're right. Either that or he has redistributed it in places.
Right.
But John Henson is one of the young assets that the Bucks were fortunate to get. I believe he fell all the way to number 14, and he was considered a top 8 pick that just kept sliding. and the Bucks had no choice but to take him, and they're certainly glad that they did. But now getting back to tonight's game, some of the other problems we mentioned, Larry Sanders wasn't there, okay. That may have had a little bit to do with it, but the Philadelphia 76ers shot 57% from the field, and that's certainly a losing recipe as well for Milwaukee. They got out-rebounded 40-32. One of the impressive stats I saw that Milwaukee had was 34 assists on 41 made field goals. That's a very high amount of baskets on assists. One that you would think would put the Bucks in the win column, but again, down the stretch in overtime, they weren't able to pull it out. But what were your thoughts on their ball movement tonight? It was actually pretty good, wasn't it, Josh?
Yes. I was liking how they were spreading it around, kind of getting equal shots around, especially early on when, you know, there wasn't someone that was kind of taking charge. They kind of needed to spread it around to see who was hitting shots, and it ended up being Caron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Caron really was hot there for a while. I think he had 22 shots. Let me see what the box score says. Yeah, 22 shots, had 38 points on 22 shots. That's pretty efficient. Certainly his best game of the season. He had one other, I think, really strong game. And then he's had the rest of his games where he was available when he wasn't injured. He had average to below average games. So, again, I don't think Caron Butler is anything special. But as you mentioned, well, who are you going to have out there if you don't have Neal or if you don't have Sanders in the last 4 minutes, if you don't have Butler? Well, those are definitely legitimate questions, Josh. I think it just calls in or exposes the Bucks' lack of depth. They really don't have anybody they want in the game in the last 4 minutes that they have or would prefer. It's just that you got to go to war with who you got on your roster, and that's part of the reason as well. But you know, it is unfortunate. The Bucks put forth a good effort tonight. They certainly just fell shy. Almost pulled it out to break a losing streak that I'm sure is driving Coach Larry Drew crazy. And, you know, over these first 10 or 11 games, Josh, what's your assessment of Coach Larry Drew and how he's handled the troops and how he's trying to get them through this losing streak? What's your assessment of Coach Drew through 11 games, Josh?
I think he's doing a decent job with what he's got. I mean, you look at the roster, and you got Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a rookie. You got Nate Walters, who's a rookie, and then Caron Butler, Carlos Delfino, Brandon Knight, O.J. Mayo, Chris Middleton, Gary Neal, Zaza, Luke Ridenour are all new guys that weren't there last season. So it's kind of a new team that's kind of find out their identity still, with a lot of young pieces still. And so you also have to look at their schedule so far. I mean, through the first seven games, they've played Dallas, who's 8-4. They've played the Heat, who are 9-3. They've played the Pacers, who are 10-1. They played the Thunder, who are 8-3. And then they played Portland, who's 10-2. So, you know, I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got. And then you got to throw in their tough schedule thus far.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. They have had a tough schedule. You can only use that excuse for so long because eventually everybody in the East plays the same amount of guys in the East, and then everybody plays a home and away against the West. But it does factor in when you play them and what stretch do you play them. Are they on the road back-to-back? Is it 4 games and 5 nights? I mean, all these things come into play in the NBA. That affects the game. Pardon?
I was just going to say all five of those teams have been in the 7-game losing streak. So, you know, they weren't very spread out.
Right. And so you certainly bring up a valid point that they are playing some of the upper echelon teams this season during this stretch, and that is tough, especially for a team that is missing some of their key players and are starting to get some back who are not 100%. Luke Ridenour comes to mind. Ersan's probably still gingerly on that
right.
ankle, although he had his best game of the season tonight as well. Brandon Knight, what's the story on Brandon Knight? Can we expect him back anytime soon? I know he was testing his hamstring and he had a little bit of a setback. What's the status of Brandon Knight that we know for you, Josh?
I have not heard. I just knew that, of course, he was out with that hamstring. I think he might have been ready by next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are your thoughts on him as a point guard? You know, there's questions coming in from the offseason. Is he a two guard? Is he a combo guard? And Larry Drew said, no, he's a pure point guard. Is that what you're thinking moving forward? Is Brandon Knight a true point guard?
I think you can move him around a little bit. I mean, if you don't start him at the one, you can't start him at the two because that's where OJ's at. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
for right now, you kind of if you want to put him in the starting lineup, which they did in their season opener, you got to
mm-hmm.
put him at the one, and then let him kind of facilitate things to OJ and what little else offense they have.
Yeah, another thing, too, during this losing streak is the play of rookie point guard Nate Walters. He started out a little shaky, a little tentative, if you will. I saw in the first handful of games he was out on the perimeter when he was running the half-court offense. And he would just be passing the ball sideline to sideline out on top, and he wasn't doing any penetrating or drive and kick type of offensive moves as a point guard. He was just standing out there handling the ball okay and passing
mm-hmm.
it with authority. He had the fundamentals down, but he was moving sideline to sideline. The last few games, he's taken a more aggressive approach. I think watching Luke Ridenour, sitting and watching how Luke runs the show has kind of helped him up his game a tad as well. But I think Walters now is doing a little bit more penetrating. He's certainly a legitimate prospect. I think he could be an excellent point guard running the second unit once we do get everybody healthy. But up to this point, I like Nate Walters. Are you in agreement with that, Josh?
Yeah. I mean, he's put together a couple good games here thus far, and I think that's one positive thing with all these injuries. A lot of the younger guys that wouldn't have had a chance to come in and get game time, get playing experience, they have a chance, like Nate Walters. If Brandon Knight hadn't got injured and Ridenour wasn't battling injuries, he wouldn't be playing so much, and he's averaging 30 minutes a game. So that's always
mm-hmm.
helpful for him moving forward as he develops as a player.
Yeah, same with Giannis. He's averaging 14 points or 14 minutes a game, and I'm not sure, you know, if Delfino was back, that he would be getting any of those minutes. I certainly like Chris Middleton. I knew there was someone else I was missing when I was naming our young core, and he was kind of a throw-in to that Brandon Jennings trade.
Right.
At least in my mind, I thought he was. But I think he's a legitimate player. Pardon?
Yeah, I was agreeing with you. I mean, he didn't get a lot of playing time in Detroit, so you never really had a chance to see what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're able to see it here.
Yeah, he was injured most of last season. He was a lottery
mm-hmm.
pick. I think he was picked number 7th, but I'm not sure. But whatever the case was, I'm glad that we have him along with Brandon Knight, who really hasn't shown us anything yet. One of my favorite players was Brandon Jennings. I liked him. But you move forward just like, you know, you traded Tobias Harris. You just suck it up and move forward. But I'm really pleasantly surprised with the core of young people that the Bucks have on their roster, and moving forward, there is some positives to look forward to. Now, are you going to be joining me tomorrow night for another post-game wrap-up show against the Charlotte Bobcats tomorrow night? Josh, you going to be a guest
yes,
as well?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to be doing it. We're going to be doing it at 10:30 tomorrow night. I mean, at 11:30 tomorrow night, because the game doesn't even start. It starts an hour and a half later than tonight's tip-off. So, well, we'll certainly be glad to have you. And so then, in finishing up this segment of the show, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share as far as your opinion of the Milwaukee Bucks, the current state of the organization? Go ahead, Josh.
I would just say that right now, as I mentioned earlier, they got a lot of new pieces, you know, and with those new pieces, they got some injuries. So right now, they just kind of got to weather the storm a little bit as they heal up, you know, and they kind of gain an identity as a team and move forward from there. But I think in their nine losses, I mean, They lost to the Knicks the first game. Knicks are 3-8. The next game they came back from 25 down after a huge third quarter and kind of fizzled out at the end. And then you look at Toronto, where they had it cut to 3 with 2 minutes left, and then had
yeah,
turnover, gave up an offensive rebound, and then next thing you know they lose by 7. So
I bet Coron Butler was in the game in the final 4 minutes. But go ahead.
When they played at Orlando, they had a monster first quarter, put up 36 points, and were leading by 13 at the end of the first quarter. And then Aaron Aflalo has the best game of his career, and they just kind of, again, so what I was doing. So I think they gotta weather the storm, you know, and then kind of put together a nice streak here. Their next five games, they got Charlotte, who's 6-7. At Detroit, which will be tough, playing in the Palace. They got Washington, who is 4-8 at Charlotte, and then Boston next. So, in terms of looking what they have played, their next five games look a little bit easier than their previous games. Looks like they could maybe snap this 7-game losing streak.
Well, I laugh because how many times I have written articles about this, how people, you never know. Of course, we all know who Aaron Aflalo is. He's a guard from UCLA, was drafted by the Detroit Pistons, ended up in Denver, and now, you know, here he is averaging like almost 20 points a game for his new team.
Yeah, he's averaging 25 points a game.
But players that play against Milwaukee, it's the old running joke. They become all-stars that night. They become Hall of Famers when they play against the Bucks. You know, your Smush Parkers, your Uri Welches, you know, your players that come out of nowhere and just have these gangbuster games always seems to happen against the Milwaukee Bucks. But that's our show for tonight. We hate ending it on a negative thought. Will certainly be more positive tomorrow night, folks. I promise you. You have been listening to the post-game wrap-up show of the Milwaukee Bucks here on Blog Talk Radio. For my partner, Joshua Clipping, I'm Davey Miller, and we will talk to you tomorrow night at 11:30 p.m. for another edition of the Bucks post-game wrap-up. Until then, have a good evening, everybody. Good night.